spoken to her for a little while. I'm interested to see, she's finished now, interested to see how she is getting on. So, who's dinging? Oh, that's okay.
Praising like David.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine if they're praising like David. That's okay, so that was the introductory things. Now, Thy Kingdom Come. Here we go. Thy Kingdom Come is now, it's been around over 5 years, is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant Anglican initiative to focus on prayer between the Ascension and Pentecost for a period of 10 days. And people all around the world have joined in and supported 24/7 prayer, the denominations, all sorts. And for us, we can look back at some of those years and think that there were some real challenges, some prophetic words, some good things, and some encouragements that arose during that. And this year, because we're so leveraged, with a relatively small number of people around, the guys have decided that we're going to try and keep to a fairly narrow set of commitments. But as well as the fact you'll bring your own prayer burdens, and hopefully there'll be things that you get as prompts that you want us to pray for. We'll be talking about that in Colossians in a minute. We'd like to bring you a particular focus throughout the time. And I just wanted to explain it in this context. This is the chapter where you get a time to be born, a time to die, a time to whatever, ever. And it talks about the fact that God has made everything beautiful in it for its own time. And this is the thing, he has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. And I find that hugely reassuring, that whether people are interested in God, whether people are interested in the coronation, whether people are interested in royalty, whether people are interested in the future, God has placed some sense of eternity in their heart. So that's number one. There's a beautiful book called Eternity in Their Hearts. Don't know who it's by. Can you remember who it's by? Do you know the book? Once again, it's sort of YWAM era that comes out, which talks about how there are people in different places around the world who have never heard about Jesus, but have been prepared for when they hear that story. If you're interested in reading into that, I think I may still have the books if the last person who borrowed them gave them back to me. Okay, the next slide, please. Okay, now, here I'm focusing in, this won't make sense, but quite often in the Bible, it talks about nations, okay? If you think about nations in the Bible, the word covers tribes, people groups, clans, groups, ethnic groups. In the New Testament is the word ethne, from which we get the word ethnic anyway. And even if you don't know that this is a thing called generational theory, forget the people who invented it, but you'll know about the idea that there are baby boomers and there are Gen X, there's millennials and there's Gen Z, or Gen Z as it's most often pronounced. And then there's Generation Alpha, which comes after that. And I was well stirred up the other day because David had told me about the conversation he'd had when he was on the apostolic and rural retreat a few days before. You may remember this. This was really interesting. And what happened was this. David came out and told us about how in the Coventry Diocese they had been experiencing children just coming to church for no reason, coming into services for no reason, and indeed bringing their parents. And when David was doing this, he had a little bit of a tremor in his hand, okay, that Carol had spoken to him afterwards, because she assumed, because she had seen Rosie poking him about, she had assumed that it was because of his tennis elbow, you see, that his hand was shaking. And he said, no, it was because I was feeling quite emotional, right? Now, that does make me smile, and I really do appreciate it. Because some of us, if we were feeling quite emotional, would have tears streaming down our faces, or would be showing it with a catch in our voice. David shows it with a tiny tremble. Okay. And you know, guys, God touches all of our hearts in particular ways. We're passionate about things. We don't express it all in the same way. If somebody weeps when they're leading or when they're talking, it means something, but you don't know whether it, what it means, you know? It's just the way it is. Some people might show no emotion, but be deeply stirred more than I would ever be. I'm somebody who, when something touches them, finds it easy to weep. Wendy less so, unless it's called the midwife. Then that's a whole different different thing. In fact, on one occasion, we were on a long-distance plane flight, and one of the stewards on the plane came up to Wendy and said, "Madam, are you okay?" Because Madam had got tears streaming down her face and was wanting to borrow my hanky and so on. She was watching Philomena, that film, which about modelling houses in... and she can't remember. I did. I was the one who got embarrassed by it. Yeah. So there is something that stirs us about what God may be doing around at times. And you can understand that David is stirred by what is happening among young people, because that, for the moment, is what God has called him to do. And it's great when we're stirred by these things, which leads me to the next verse that takes us to our point. Have a look at this. God marked out the appointed times of tribes, people groups, generations in history, and the boundaries of their land. Why? Right? God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. And as I read that again, that really got to me, because I can't help but think that if young people I know had been born a generation or two ago, when the Holy Spirit was obviously strongly moving at universities, right? When, you know, where I was at Birmingham, there was a constant influx of people who were coming to know Jesus and were getting in touch with the Spirit and so on. It would have been so much easier for them to find Christ. Yeah? That's where my mind goes. And that's where our mind goes naturally. We think, oh, wouldn't it have been better if young people had been born in that time where there was that fire? Wouldn't it have been better if... Yeah, okay, I can do that about all the generations and think about that. But I'm taking encouragement from this, that God knows and that he has not finished yet as far as generations concerned. We got a little hint of that with what's happening in Asbury. Perhaps we're getting another little hint of what it is with what happens in Coventry Diocese. And so where we're getting to is this, that we would like to make our particular theme, in addition to the things that you've got on your heart, this. Can you show us the next slide, please? This is from Romans 10:20. I was found by those that did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. And what we're going to try and do over those 10 days, we're going to give you little prompts. We'll work out a way of doing it. So that we can pray for groups of people that we know who at the moment, as far as we know, are not seeking God, are not trying to find him, couldn't care less about it. that God will actually choose this time to touch them. They may be our kids, they may be our grandkids, they may be young people who used to be part of Dayspring or part of other ministries we've been involved in. It may be that they're young people who have come in touch with God or the message through all sorts of other things. It may be that they're relatives or workmates that we've talked to and don't appear to be interested. So we're inviting you to join with us. We're inviting you to be part of a little thing. And it doesn't say how many people need to agree on something for it to start happening. During that period where we will pray and we will stir ourselves up to pray and we will carry on praying for those who are not looking for God at the moment, that they will be found by Him.